All right, Sunday morning, Easter, 4/12/20. This is
the title of that last one?
Wasn't really a title. It was just FYI, I guess. This is a teaching. The title of it, Walking in Resurrection Power. Now, I want you to know what the Lord has me teach you. He has me usually walk out before I teach you. Or I'm in the process of walking that out. He'll show me something and then he'll have me walk it out so that when I bring it to you, I can attest that it works. The Lord says this morning, it's time to cast all of your care. It doesn't matter what you are facing today, it is all a scam. It's all a scam. A con job. Everything you're facing that's anti what the Word of God says about you, it's a con job, it's a scam. According to the Bible, it's all a scam. According to the Bible, that's right, fake news. We ought to be used to that. Since the 30s and 40s, they've tried to propagandize us. A prime example was what I brought about the Wizard of Oz. That was back in, what, 39 or something like that? I forget, 1930-something is when Wizard of Oz came out and Gone with the Wind. There's stuff in Gone with the Wind, too. Don't think for a minute there isn't, you know. Okay, I want to read Matthew 6 to you. Give you the true news versus the fake news. And I want to say this to you and take it right. I would never tell any of you not to listen to someone. But I would say let the Lord lead you because the Lord just said this to me, never look to man for affirmation. Or confirmation. Affirmation or confirmation, don't look to man for that. They could say something, and because they have a different call than you, they could get you off. Now, I know God does use men to confirm things, because this week I heard different things of what, but I didn't go to man looking for a confirmation. You understand what I'm saying? It was more in the words they said about the transition and different things that are going on. The Lord said, let me be your affirmation and your confirmation. We're going to have to, these are days where you're going to have to walk from the inside so you won't be deceived. If you're listening to somebody, their subject, like I said, not everybody, I don't think there's a person on planet Earth, or even if it is a planet, but not a planet, not a person on Earth that has everything right. I don't think so. Maybe just in your sphere of what God's put you in, maybe you could be right on with that and maybe be clueless about something else. That's why anything I say, if it don't rub right, then go to the Lord about it. You know, I'm trying, I'm doing the best I can, and I can't say that I won't ever miss it. I try not to. That's why I bring so much scripture. It's because I want it to be confirmed by the Word of God that somebody can't come up and say, well, you didn't give me any scripture for that. I'm thinking, you're a bald-faced liar if you say that because I know better, especially if I'm teaching on TV and even Sunday mornings. Okay. All right, Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So there are no fence dwellers. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto a stature? Have you ever watched the birds? Just sat and watched them? Mm-hmm. Carefree. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The word care there in the Strong's means distraction or solicitude. This is what solicitude is, out of the Webster's. The state of being concerned and anxious, an attitude of earnest concern or attention, or a cause of care or concern. All right. What has come against you? The real weapon formed is the temptation to get into care. It's Satan's weapon. It's his snare. Remember the Care Bear snare? Mm-hmm. Staying out of the Care Bear snare? I noticed the Kleenex boxes say, take care on it with a heart. I want to just put an X to it and say not. Anything they can push to get a visualization to you, even if it's like the Care Bear toys, anything to get your focus on taking care, because that's his inroad into your life. Okay. Jesus took care of it all on your behalf. That is what his resurrection was all about. Amplified Bible, this is Philippians 3:11. This is Paul. This is one of my favorite scriptures, and I like it in the Amplified. That if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. Resurrection there means a standing up again. A resurrection from death or recovery. Now listen to me, I know from experience. What we are going through has everything to do with learning to not walk by how you feel. How you feel. Feel like Urkel. Feelings, nothing more than feelings. Yeah, it's a big deal. The word says one thing and your feelings say another. And that's where Satan comes in. He uses your feelings to get you over into care. Right into the Care Bear snare to trap you up. Okay, turn with me to Romans 8. It's like there's no crying in baseball. There's no feelings in the walk of faith. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So if you want to not be in condemnation, you're going to have to walk in the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What does condemnation lead to? Care. Care. Believe it or not, you are none of your business. This just came. And this is the Lord saying this. You are none of your business. I'm overseeing everything about your life. Your health care, your financial prosperity, your ministry, your relationships. He's overseeing all of this. And he knows when to tell you to do this and to do that. But he's overseeing all of it. And he wants you to get your busybody nose out of it. He wants you to stay out of self-care, always trying to fix yourself. What is that? That's condemnation. What does condemnation come from? Not righteous conscious, but sin conscious. Oh, I got to bring a sacrifice, and the Lord's mad at me, so I missed it. I did something wrong. That's Old Testament. Sacrifices are already laid down. Jesus. These two scriptures right here, that's what it's talking about. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Lord tells you, you need to apologize to that person. Do it. If not, don't. Mm-hmm. Don't. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. We spend probably more time trying to fix ourselves, and the Lord doesn't want us to do that. He says you're dead. Does a dead person get up and brush their teeth and comb their hair? I'm not going to get crude about it, but no, they don't. A dead person does not. So, our new real life is hidden with Christ in God. We've been raised. See, we're dead. We were buried with Him in baptism and raised up to walk in newness of life. And our new real life is hidden with Christ in God. And that way we can just get up and not and really not carry any care, and then the Lord, when He needs us to do something, He'll say something. Or He'll quicken us. You know, sometimes it's kind of aggravates me about the Lord, but you know, anyway, just being honest. Here I am just pressing in, oh, I just need an answer, you know, just days and days. And He'll tell me, get some mustard when you go to the store. You're out. I'm going, what's that got to do with anything? Because He watches over you like He watches over the birds, and He notices when one falls from the ground. He clothes the grass that tomorrow will be thrown in the oven. How much more, if He takes that kind of care on these things, does He care for you? And if He's not saying anything, then it must not be a big a deal. We make it a big deal. Why? Because our emotions get in the way. Feelings, nothing more than feelings. Okay, 1 Peter. Chapter 5. Folks, learning to walk without feelings, this is resurrection power. We walk by faith and not by sight. What does sight mean? The five senses. It's not about what you feel or you think. You see, touch, taste even. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. So He's saying, humble yourself. What does care do? You start thinking about yourself, therefore, you get in pride, thinking, I better care for myself because the Lord didn't do a very good job, or He's not doing a very good job, or I can do better, or whatever. He sees it as pride. Well, that's my job, and you're trying to do my job. It's kind of like, you know, they advise women, quit trying to fix your husband. Well, come on, quit trying to fix yourself. The Lord knows when you'll come into this revelation for this. The thing that I want to stress to you today, and what the Lord has stressed to me many years ago, my word can take care of anything that's in your life. I heard a doctor say yesterday, it was just a snippet, and he believed you know, some things I didn't, but the statement he made, he said, because the Lord had been speaking to me about the medical community, and they go in there and diagnose you that you need to take this organ out or this organ out. Well, that's for profit. He said, everything God placed in you is for your benefit, and it aids your body, and your body heals itself, and it is. It replenishes itself. It's a wonder the way God made the body. Now, he thinks because of all the poison and stuff, this is what people are going through. I'm thinking, well, he needs to hear the other side of the equation. It's not what goes in the man that defiles the man, but his thinking processes that's causing the problem. As a man thinks, so he is. In his heart, so he is. So, let me get back on track. I just lost the train of thought. Oh. What the Holy Spirit said to me was, you can always trust me. He did surgery on my shoulder. You know, the things that I went through were grievous and they were hard. But he walked me through them and he did it. What does that do? It shows you that God can be trusted. It shows you that he really is your health care provider. And the Lord also quickened to me. He said, this is why you from the get-go started teaching in these areas is because, and I'd never heard anybody teach in these areas, about it's not what goes in the man. Because this system you see, this medical system that even the church highly esteems, is Satan's system. And we really see it now, especially with the coronavirus thing. They're sending letters to doctors and telling them that they need to put down on their death certificate that it's COVID-19, regardless of what they died for. They're trying to boost the numbers to make it look like it's such a pandemic so that the public will take the vaccine. They did a trial test in Africa on 7 children. They died immediately from the vaccine. Died! Kill, steal, destroy. This is Satan's domain. I used to think, is there something wrong with me? Everybody wants to rush to the doctor. Like a sheep to the slaughter. I'm not saying the doctors are bad. They don't know. It's the ones at the top. It's the bad ones that know the truth. Now, some do, yes, but some, just everyday working folk, they don't. They think they're doing their best, and but this isn't God's system. And now I know why I was so upset. I said, why do I feel so about it? It's because that's why. It's all coming out. The swamp, the creatures are coming to the top, and it's exposing all the trickery. When I was in Dallas on that floor with the diagnostic testing, the Lord showed me that day. Those tests are rigged. It's like with the coronavirus test. The test that came from China that the president rejected, the others took it and it infected them. When it did the test, it infected them with the virus. Yeah, we can trust God with our health care. We can trust God with whatever we need him to help us with. He says he knows before we even ask. He knows what we're going through. Trust him. Hear from him. I remember a couple of years ago when I first started researching all this stuff, there was a man that said he had gone in for surgery. And he said the doctor and the nurses tormented him, and they were Luciferians, and they tried to get him. He was a Christian. They kept him in there for hours and hours and hours. Now somebody say, well, he was under anesthesia. He was just talking out of his head. He doesn't know what he's talking about, but he said, it happened. They were trying to get me to renounce my faith. They tortured me. Yeah. It's getting ugly. Nothing's hidden anymore. The curtain has been drawn back of their intent and purposes. Okay. I think pride is the root of condemnation. Yes, it is. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Right here, resist steadfast in the faith. Recognize who it is. See, we're doing, our warfare is not carnal. We're coming against a renegade spirit, but he uses the flesh. Trying to get your senses involved in it. And when you do, all right, pride is the root of condemnation or vice versa. Could be. What does pride do? My way is better over God's way. God can't handle it the way I can. A lot of it is you just grow up doing things a certain way. You just revert back to what you know instead of who you know. All right, Hebrews 3. Are y'all getting this today? I'm kind of all over the place a little bit. Hebrews 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the days of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Now what did they do? They kept wanting to go back to Egypt in the ways, the old ways, the fleshly ways, and they didn't want to do it God's way. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. We're going to be the ones that God is going to have teach these people that don't have a clue about any of this. They don't know about God's ways and God's kingdom, his way. They know about the earth's way, the human way. But they don't know anything about walking by faith and believing God, taking his medicine. It's a new concept to them. What do you think these rulers and reigners are going to be doing? Teaching people to rule and reign. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. I know when your feelings get involved, it's a little hard to rest sometimes, isn't it? That's when you got to switch gears. We were talking about, you know, praise. The Lord's been speaking to Danny about praising. Mm-hmm. Getting your eyes off of the circumstances and the situations and the feelings and getting it onto. What does praise do? Praise actually kind of has it's like you're saying the same thing as God is saying. That's what faith is. You're saying what God is saying. What does praise do? It gets your mind there. When you start praising God, you're saying, yes, I believe you. I agree with you, Lord. I am well. I think it's wind. For we which have believed do enter into rest. There it says it all. We who believe have entered into rest. So if we're not in rest, I guess we're having a problem with our believer. Yeah. As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So everything that you're going through, God has already said, I've already taken care of it. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. See, God, I was thinking about it this morning. I said, Lord, I hadn't thought about it like that. He said, I've been sitting up here waiting a long time for this last day of rest. When he finished, when he created, he sat down. Jesus, he had to, because of what happened, he had to send Jesus into the earth. And then when he was crucified, raised from the dead, now he's seated up there with him. And now he's waiting for the church to get seated. Take your place at the Father's right hand in heavenly places. That's what this seventh day is all about. This is to be the only mode of operation in this kingdom. Now, there'll be natural men doing natural things, don't get me wrong, but I'm talking about the church. The church age didn't get it, for the most part. A few did. Okay. And in this place, again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited the certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Here we are, seated with him in heavenly places. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto him of whom, with whom we have to do. Another thing about getting affirmation or all of that from other people. Wouldn't you rather go to the one that knows everything? Men know a little bit, a drop. But God knows everything. Why waste your time on trying to get affirmation from all these experts when God knows it all? He knows the end from the beginning. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He understands how it feels. But if we'll go to him, he'll help us with that. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He didn't let the feelings get him back in the flesh. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Thank you, Lord. Resurrection life is a life that is free from care. It moves in him. In him. This scripture, Acts 17. I think Peter quoted this. Maybe didn't. Maybe Paul did. I don't remember. What is the Lord saying here today? As much as you have trusted the doctor, the lawyer, the Indian chief, in the kingdom of God, I am the doctor, I am the lawyer, I am the Indian chief. Acts 17:28. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Whatever presents itself to you is a false flag, for you are complete in him. See, this was all done from the foundation of the world. Your healing, your prosperity, whatever situation that you need fixing. Colossians 2:10 says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So this demon is wreaking havoc in your life and causing you pain and grief, but it says he's ahead of all principality and power. When you go his way, so are you. We're seated with him. Strong's, the word complete, means to make replete, to cram, level up a hollow, to furnish, satisfy, execute, finish, verify. So that's just about really nothing missing, nothing broken. This says to me, already accomplished by Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, no room for any more false flags. Already healed, walking in divine health, already rich, abundantly supplied, abounding in grace, supplied with God's wisdom, what more could you ask for? Manifestation. Let me present this to you today, a new way of looking at it. Instead of saying to a body part, get in line, how about saying, no, devil, I don't believe you. This is a false flag. I'm already well. Or, no, I have a full supply and I no longer have any of your, I will never have any more of those false flag events in my life. Instead of speaking to the body to get in line, if we're complete in him, the body is in line. Who's manipulating? It's the devil with your feelings. Even Kenneth Copeland made the statement, pain comes through feelings, through thought processes. Now think about that for a minute. A new way of looking at it. You know, when Jesus was tempted in Luke chapter 4, he said he was hungry, and the devil tempted him with bread, and his feelings came into play. Probably he saw his mom taking a fresh loaf of bread out of the oven. He could probably smell. Oh, there's no smell like fresh baked bread. He was trying to tempt him to step out independent of God. Was it about bread? No. It was about him taking care of himself. Well, I'm starving. I hadn't eaten in 40 days. The reasoning. See what I'm saying here? Not allowing the pressure of the enemy and his false flag event against you to cause you to get into the flesh and to start acting. If he doesn't say anything to you, then just don't do anything. But when I saw that, I said, you're right, Lord. I should be telling the devil, get out of here with your false garbage. I'm already well. I don't need to be well, healed. I'm already well. I'm complete in him. We see this happening in our world, the great awakening. It's not just the awakening to the swamp and what false flag events they have been doing. It's also about you personally. It's about, well, I started this out this morning about learning to walk independent of your circumstances. We see that in Paul's life. And we've thought that, oh, well, that was Paul. He's right up there with Jesus. Well, aren't we right up there with Jesus? It's about whatever circumstance Paul was in. He said, in my weakness, I'm made strong. God taught him to let his glory flow through him and bring him glory. It got Paul's flesh completely out of the way because he said he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Highly educated. But he had to unlearn all of that. Okay, story, Romans 4. Is this helping y'all? Y'all connecting with it? Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure. Think about it, when you get in the flesh, there's no grace. But when you're in faith, there's grace. Promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I made thee the father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope. Now we know Abraham struggled for 25 years to get the baby. But God changed his name. And they began to call each other the names that God changed their names to. What was that? It was like saying, "We believe you, God." They started believing. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, consider not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, or neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So all of it had to do was with their feelings. Their feelings being persuaded to believe God and not the false flag. Being barren, that's a false flag. A lie. All right, was all hope gone? Looks like, but Abraham and Sarah got tired of the false flag and began to agree with God and brush the devil and his false flag off. Are you ready to act like you believe the promise over the false flag false flags in our nation, false flags in your life? Humble yourself, acknowledge he has already taken care of it at the cross, and now it is time for you to rest. We better get used to this. The kingdom made dwellers rest. That's the seventh day. So if you believe what the Word of God says, and you will keep your thoughts on complete instead of deplete. You're not the sick trying to get well. You're not the poor trying to get rich. Then you will keep your thoughts on complete instead of deplete. You will act like you believe it. You will put off your sackcloth. Quit moaning about it. Quit moaning about your situation, how bad it is. I will put off my sackcloth, turn my mourning into dancing. Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing for me. You put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. What did that praise? Full persuasion is acting like it's already done. That's the conclusion Abraham and Sarah came to. They tried in their flesh. It just backfired on them. We walk by faith and not by what we feel. This is resurrection power that lifts you up while you're still in your body. Make you a list, mentally or naturally, whichever you want to do it. Cast it in the trash and never look back. Here's a partial list. Toilet paper. Hand sanitizer. The election. The swamp. Finances, health, kids, jobs, relationships. The list goes on and on. Every part of you must work together to walk in resurrection power. Your thinking, your speech, and your action. You can't just confess. Your thinking, your speaking, and your action. First of all, you're thinking on the Word of God and what the Word of God says, then you're speaking it, and then you're acting like it's so, it's done. No matter what you feel. Okay, one more set of scriptures, Galatians. Thank you, Lord, for helping us today. Galatians 5. These are two walks here, the two masters, flesh and spirit. 5:16. No, Galatians, not. I'm in Ephesians. I don't think it's going to read the same. Okay, 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Simple. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. If you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. What law? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. And it goes on to talk about the works of the flesh. But, in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is all these things. It says here in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envy one another. So he's talking about staying out of letting your feelings dictate. You know, there's times you get ruffled about things. Don't just haul off and spout off and say things that you can't get back. Let the Lord tell you. It says, be ye angry and sin not. And say, don't get angry. Like I already did that teaching on anger is actually a trigger that your boundaries have been violated. So you need to find out, what do I do about it? Walk in the Spirit concerning it. Let God give you wisdom concerning it instead of just taking it into your flesh and maybe doing irreparable damage that you can't fix. All right. Y'all make your list. Toilet paper. Or whatever. Whatever care. Whatever gets you out of the Spirit, starts getting you down a road you don't want to be on. And I'm telling you, like you're going fishing. You cast it out there and you let the fish take it and run with it. Okay.